Welcome, everyone, to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone. Thank you for letting us ride along with you today while you're out there living your life. I always appreciate that you make us part of your weekly routine, so thank you so much for that. Now, I'm coming to you on Wednesday afternoon. We are one day before the NFL draft kicks off, and the rumors, the reports, the speculation, just raging right now. So today, I want to go over some of my final thoughts with the draft almost upon us here. And if you haven't already, go back, listen to our draft preview episodes with Dane Brugler last week. We had Thor Nystrom on Monday, both incredibly knowledgeable draft analysts, lots of great information in those shows. But let's get to today, and we can start at the top with Caleb Williams. Number one for me, don't let the noise bother you. Caleb Williams is a star. Lots of people out there love him. There has been some reports that there's a few people around the league that are scared off by his personality. And David Fleming, he was on Pablo Torre's show. He was citing some anonymous sources from around the NFL. He even said that one NFL GM compared Williams to Prince. And I assume that means that he's eccentric, but Prince is amazing. I mean, go jump on YouTube, watch some of those Prince solos. I mean, the guy, one of the best musicians we have ever had. So I hope that Caleb Williams is the Prince of NFL quarterbacks. And when you look at what the Bears are doing for him, they're setting him up so great for a strong rookie season. They go out, they add to their supporting cast. You already have DJ Moore, but now you get Keenan Allen in there, possibly another wideout coming in. There's lots of rumors that they could grab one of the top three wideouts. Take that second first round pick they have at number nine overall, maybe even move up a spot or two to get one of those guys. So Williams is someone that I think you should love for Dynasty. I think he's somebody that you should be looking to grab in redraft. Certainly has a chance to be a top 12 or top 15 fantasy QB right out of the gate in 2024. Number two, the QB chaos in the top 10. And now this is after Williams goes to the Bears. We have Jaden Daniels. We have JJ McCarthy, Drake May, all vying to be drafted near the top there after Williams goes. Still seems like Daniels is going to be going to the Commanders, even though he's kind of doing his best to make them realize that he would rather be elsewhere. Apparently, the Raiders, the Vikings, they're more desirable landing spots to him. I don't necessarily disagree, but fantasy-wise, I'm going to be interested in Daniels wherever he ends up. And for the record, he did get interviewed today, and he did make it clear that he's going to be happy to get taken, and he's going to be excited to play wherever he goes. So it's a non-issue. It's just something that people are trying to turn into a bit of a problem. He's got tons of talent, though. We know the rushing abilities there. That can help make him fantasy relevant right away. The only place where I think his value would take a bit of a hit would be if he goes to New England, since they don't really have great skill position weapons for whoever ends up getting taken at three to go to the Patriots, or if the Patriots end up moving down and still select a quarterback. There's so many different permutations that could happen here at the top of the draft. And I still see the Pats as being the most likely destination for either May or McCarthy, who are both very intriguing prospects. For me, I still have May over McCarthy, but we're going to have a better idea on their outlooks once we see where they get drafted. And there's a lot of possibilities here. Like I'm saying, right? The Commanders, the Patriots, the Vikings, the Raiders, the Broncos, they all need a quarterback. They're all picking inside the top 12. The Giants could also be in that mix at six, but only really five QBs up for grabs after Caleb Williams. And I don't have Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix ranked as first round talents. I still think that we'll see them fall to the late first or early second. Really anything higher than that, it seems like a mistake to me. So Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, those are the fantasy targets. Drake May would be next. He can offer some rushing ability as well. McCarthy, a bit of a wild card, but a landing spot like the Vikings, that could make him pretty interesting for fantasy. And if it's McCarthy to the Vikings and May to the Patriots, I will probably have McCarthy ranked ahead of May. And I would be cautious about Penix and Nix. Like I said, that also goes for really any quarterback that goes outside of the first round, because as much as we talk about the Tom Brady's and the Russell Wilson's and the Brock Purdy's of the world, the hit rate on quarterbacks outside of the first round, it's not great. Number three, where will the top wide receivers land? You have Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Roma Dunze. Harrison, he's got the best odds to go fourth overall, presumably to the Cardinals, who hold that pick right now, and they got a huge need at receiver. But their GM, Monty Austinfort, he has been known to wheel and deal. He hasn't been afraid to trade around the board at all. So we could see them move out of that pick if somebody wants to overpay for a QB there. And then if that happens, don't be surprised if the Cardinals quickly move back up to get one of the top wideouts. And right now, I'm operating like they're going to stick and pick, and Harrison's going to be the choice there. Regardless, though, we have the Cardinals, the Chargers, and the Giants picking back-to-back, fourth, fifth, and sixth. They're all candidates to trade back, but all of them need receivers really badly, and those are decent landing spots for any of these top guys, right? Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert, they would be nice quarterbacks to get paired with, but even the Giants, where the quarterback situation isn't great, the volume should make up for it early on. So you could look at some other teams here. You know, the Titans are picking seven. They could be in the mix for a receiver. Their new head coach, offensive-minded guy in Brian Callahan, he's trying to load the deck around Will Levis. The Bears are reportedly interested in adding another wideout, like I mentioned earlier. They could either wait until that second pick at nine overall, or maybe even move up a couple spots and get one of these guys. You have the Colts, who've been linked to trading up for a receiver potentially. If you want to go pie in the sky, even teams like the Bills have been rumored to be interested in maybe making a big splash and moving up, kind of like how the Falcons went way up to get Julio Jones back in the day. I don't think the Bills would do that, but I would love it if they did, considering Harrison and Neighbors, they are elite wide receiver prospects. You have Odunze not far behind. Buffalo, probably going to be more in the mix for the Brian Thomases and the Adee Mitchells, Xavier Worthy, Troy Franklin. They're probably going to be in that range. But as far as the top 10 goes, it's Harrison, Neighbors, Odunze, and I'm all in on Harrison and Neighbors as really true difference makers at the next level, with Odunze being more of an overqualified wide receiver too on his next squad, but very bright futures for those guys. Number four, the other wide receiver prospects that I have a close eye on. And some of these you might already know if you've been listening to the show, if you've been following my content. I also mentioned a couple of them already. I've been big on Brian Thomas the entire cycle. I don't think that he's unlocked all of his potential yet. And I am a sucker for big, fast wideouts, sometimes to my detriment. But it seems like the NFL also loves Thomas, and he's almost guaranteed to go off the board in the first round, maybe even earlier than people expect. So very excited to see him in the pros. Mitchell, he's also someone that I would bet on as an NFL team and as a fantasy manager. Now, he's riskier than the other guys that I've mentioned, the big three and Thomas, but Mitchell, he's also just scratching the surface of his talent. And we've heard some reports that he maybe wasn't the best interview and that he's dealing with diabetes and that that can cause him maybe not to be at his best at times, but he is still young. He's going to turn 22 later this year. And we've seen other players, most notably Mark Andrews on the Ravens, who's a diabetic and who manages it, right? And guess what? He's a pretty darn good football player in the NFL. So I will take the discount on Mitchell if there is one. It might depend on his landing spot, though, because if he does end up going to the Bills or the Chiefs or a team like that at the end of the first round, I expect that the fantasy community would be all in on him at that point. Now, some other wideouts that I'm targeting heading into the draft, Ladd McConkey, really versatile guy, might slip into early round two potentially. I saw something that, you know, NFL teams might have some medical concerns for him, but I still expect that he's either going to be a late round one or early round two pick. And there's a bunch of great landing spots in that range. You could look at the Cowboys, the Bills, the Lions, the Ravens, the Chiefs, the 49ers, if they trade Brandon Ayuk, and we'll get to that in a second. Or at the top of the second round, you have a team like the Chargers, 37th overall. If they don't take a receiver in round one, that could be a very nice pick for them in round two. So lots of teams to watch as potential McConkey suitors in that range. And I'll mention one more wideout before we move on. Javon Baker has the skills to be a strong wide receiver too in the pros. And I get why he flies under the radar a bit, because you look at it, he's got a late breakout. You know, he's kind of stuck behind some of the really top talent that they had at Alabama early in his career before he moved on. But I think Thor mentioned on Monday's show, he comps him to Rashee Rice. I could see Baker being that kind of player coming out in round two, round three, and making an impact in year one. So keep him in mind over the next couple of days to see where he ends up. Number five, and let's keep Brandon Ayuk in mind here. We have to, right? Plenty of trade rumors surrounding him. I still see it as public negotiating. He's trying to get a new contract. The 49ers, they're trying to get a discount here, but it's possible we could see Ayuk get moved around the draft. And the Steelers have been highlighted as the destination for him. I didn't see where that originated, but Pittsburgh fans, they seem to be pretty excited about it. I would love as a Bills fan to see him go there, especially if it's for a second round pick this year or maybe next year. The only problem is that you have to pay him big money after the trade, and I'm not sure Buffalo is going to be willing or able to do that. And you'll hear Aiyuk's name many times until he either gets dealt or gets that new contract. But make no mistake, this guy's a top 10 NFL receiver, so this should almost be a bigger story than it is. But Aiyuk, for some reason, still hasn't really attained that like household name status like the Justin Jeffersons and Jamar Chases of the world. He's not far off those dudes, though, and I'll just be over here dreaming of what he could be as the number one receiver in this Bills offense with Josh Allen. Probably not going to happen, but a nice dream to consider at this point before we actually see what happens. Number six, Brock Bowers. I think the fantasy community might be discounting Bowers a bit just based on what happened with Kyle Pitts and some of the other high-end tight ends who were taken early in first rounds in the past. Remember, though, Pitts had a 1,000-yard season as a rookie, dealt with injuries, bad quarterback play. Now he's going to have a real quarterback this year. So his story isn't close to being done. When you look at guys like TJ Hawkinson, yeah, he didn't blow the doors off right away. It took a little bit of time for him. So yes, there's been some disappointing results, but Bowers is up there as one of the best tight end prospects ever. And he's going to be a very important fantasy asset wherever he goes. Right now, seems like the Jets have been tied to him the most at 10th overall, but there's a few teams where he could really flourish if he ends up there, especially if he slides down a bit. You know, the Colts at 15, the Rams at 19, Tyler Higbee coming off a serious knee injury. Could he be the replacement there? You pair him with a guy like Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay's offense, that could be fireworks. So don't let Bowers get discounted just because of all the talk that's surrounding the wide receivers at the top and the quarterbacks. He is one of the best prospects in this class and somebody that you're going to want on your fantasy roster in Dynasty or in Redraft. Number seven, the next best tight end prospects. And after Bowers, I'm not as sold on any of the other tight ends in this class. I have them a lot lower in my rankings. Ben Sinnott, Theo Johnson, they have me interested. Jatavion Sanders, he's been a bit of a faller during the pre-draft process. I'll still be watching to see where he goes as well. But after that, I'm not really ranking any of these tight ends that high. Unless you're in a tight end premium format, then that changes the game. But I want to make these guys prove themselves before I invest heavily. So you'll notice in my rookie rankings, outside of a handful of the top tight end prospects each year, the rest of the tight ends are ranked pretty low. They're all outside of my top 50 in those rookie rankings. And it's not that they can't hit over time, but I'm not really interested in using a roster spot on them for a year or 2 years, sometimes more, before you actually get a return. And that's specifically for, you know, the late day two or day three tight ends. Number eight, who is going to be the first running back drafted? And it's kind of telling that I'm waiting this long in the show before I talk about running backs. And that's because, as we've mentioned leading up to it here, this year's running back class, not the best, not as great as we've seen in some of the previous years. But, you know, it's still fairly open right now for who could be that top guy selected. Trey Benson, Jonathan Brooks, Blake Corum, Jalen Wright, Marshawn Lloyd, those are your top candidates to go first. And it'll likely be in the second round when we finally hear one of those names come off the board. And some of the teams that are in that range that might be in the market, we know the Cowboys are, the Chargers we still believe are, the Panthers, the Giants. There's also some clubs like the Cardinals and Bengals who could maybe draft someone as a long-term replacement for their current veteran starter, right? So I also wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders or the Rams, if one of those teams dip into the market as well. And for me, it wouldn't be close. It would be Jonathan Brooks as the first running back selected this year. And if you didn't count the ACL last year, he would be going much, much earlier, maybe even in the late first round. But the ACL tear, that puts some doubt on him. Still, he might be the guy that gets his name called first. And the Cowboys, they've been linked to him a lot with pick 56. We also have the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh. They've been linked to his former Michigan starter, Blake Corum. And even though the Chargers signed Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, bringing them over from the Ravens, they still likely need to add someone. I don't think you can go into the season just trusting that those guys can be your backfield. Dobbins coming off a serious injury, of course. We don't know what he's going to be able to do this year. And Gus Edwards, not the guy that you want to pin all your backfield hopes onto. You'd like to have somebody else in the mix there. So those make sense, especially if Corum falls to the third round for the Chargers. But I expect that it's going to be Benson or Brooks that go as the first two backs taken, with Benson probably getting the nod given, you know, the better health that he has at the moment. But landing spot is going to be huge for this group. We know that. And I'll be drafting shares of all those running backs that I mentioned. You know, as long as the landing spots are good and they aren't trapped behind somebody significant, like we saw happen, unfortunately, last year to Zach Charbonnet. You know, he goes to the Seahawks. he ends up behind Kenneth Walker, and his value takes a hit because of it. Number nine, which late round running backs are worth monitoring? And the answer here is all of them, because we know that volume is so huge for running backs. Even an average back in a good landing spot could produce, you know, way above expectation for fantasy given that opportunity. But some of the names that pop out to me when we go a little deeper: Will Shipley, kind of a solid all-round back, has a nice receiving profile. He's going to have a role in the pros. Whether he'll have a chance to be a lead back, I don't know, but he's going to be a committee guy at worst. And as we've talked about, some of these committee guys, now that there aren't that many workhorse backs out there, some of these committee guys, especially the ones that come with the receiving production, they can be solid fantasy assets. Now, Ray Davis, he's somebody that I would probably be higher on if he was, let's say, a year or two younger. I know the NFL team at The Score, they love him. Our resident draft guy, Dan Wilkins, he's been on the show a bunch of times. He has Davis as his second back in this class. I just can't get there with him. And part of it is the age. You know, he's going to be 25 years old later this year. So it's hard to get, you know, overly excited about his outlook, in part because you have to take into account when you're watching his tape, he's older than most of the players he's competing against in college. But still, it's a great story that he has. He's overcome a lot, and it'll be a heck of an accomplishment for him just to make it to the NFL. And if he ends up on a team where he can get that opportunity right away, I definitely will bump him up a bit in the rankings. Some other backs that you've heard our guests mention for sure, guys who I want to watch closely to see where they go and what kind of draft capital they get: Isaac Grendo, Tyrone Tracy Jr., Isaiah Davis, Kamani Vidal. And I think between Danny Kelly back in February, Dane Brugler last week, Thor Nystrom, I mean, you've heard the case made for most of those guys already, so I won't harp on it because we're going to have plenty of time to discuss the late round gems once they get drafted. And that brings us to number 10 here, and I'm going to round it up with this. Do not believe much of what you hear over the next 24 hours or so. I mean, I probably could have said this 2 weeks ago. There is a reason why I put out my final pre-draft rookie rankings early last week, and that's because I don't want my views tainted by all the reports that we're hearing leading up to the draft here. This guy is going to go in the top 10. This guy is going to fall. It's hard not to bake that into your pre-draft analysis when it's, you know, coming across your feed every single day nonstop, when you're seeing it on TV, when you're hearing it in podcasts. But fortunately, that silly season of draft rumors, it's almost over, and we'll have some actual picks made on Thursday night. We'll be able to react to those, and I can't wait. This is one of my favorite times of year, so don't pay too much attention to the rumors and the reports that you're hearing between now and Thursday night. Take a breather from it all, and then let's come back. We can start getting right into it as soon as Roger Goodell takes the podium and as soon as he starts getting booed, which is a tradition unlike any other, in the words of Jim Nance. But that is all for today's show. So make sure you check out all the other draft prep episodes that we did the last couple weeks that I referenced there. You could take a look at all my pre-draft rankings and trade value charts. All that stuff is available at The Score for free. And like I mentioned on Monday's show, I'll be doing a live draft reaction column. I'll have instant analysis. I'll have instant projections during round one in there. And I normally do something for day two. It could be a look at the running backs this year, depending where they go. I feel like that might be the way that I'm leaning right now for the day two column. But I'll have a podcast or two during the draft that'll get you caught up on things. And once the draft is over, that's when the real fun begins, because then I'm going to have to update all the rankings and trade value charts again. We'll have updated depth charts as well. And I'll aim to have all that stuff updated over the weekend and early next week, Monday and Tuesday. But until then, big thanks for following me on Twitter at Justin Boone. Big thanks to everybody out there for listening. And we will see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me tonight. Said